You're listening to Offbeat Music Box. I'm Carol Kay, and I'm with
Simone. You're with Simone. We both are. Who are you with? I'm with myself because I'm selfish.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So Simone, I was driving to work,
right?
And I was listening to K-Day. If anybody lives in Los Angeles, you're probably familiar with this station. They play all like the old school hip hop and all this stuff, and it's really cool. And I felt nostalgic every time I listened. I actually prefer listening to that station, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
But anyways, I was really nostalgic, and I started thinking to myself, you know, what album deserves a second chance in the spotlight?
And what conclusion did you come to be honest? What conclusion?
I think Jay-Z and R. Kelly's Best of Both Worlds.
The Best of Both Worlds. It is the Best of Both Worlds, because I remember that album. I was young. I was like 22. I'd never let that CD come out of my CD face off. It was one you like press the button and the CD comes off. The CD, the face, right? And you put it in your pocket and you were cool if you had the best one.
Oh, like it came off the stereo. So
yeah.
It's actually, I think it's a theft prevention, I think.
Right, right. Yeah. It's pretty ghetto.
You know, you can't steal a stereo without the face.
You can't.
Anyways.
Did your CD ever get stolen from you? Did this CD particular? How many times did you have to buy this?
Once.
You only bought it once?
Yes.
Can I borrow it?
You can.
All right.
But yes, it's a really good album. I think it was one of those albums that kind of got overlooked, in my opinion.
Oh, boy. If your opinion is what my opinion is, it is a bad opinion. I know why it got overlooked. Basically, R. Kelly got into some drama. We're not going to talk about it. But this album was amazing. It definitely got overlooked. None of my friends know about it. But the people that are in this room right now, it is the best of both worlds, because Jay-Z was at his like peak. He was the Michael Jordan. And R. Kelly was like LeBron James. You get hip hop, you get R&B. Even R. Kelly was trying to rap on this.
They did that song Fiesta. Was this after this album or before it?
I'm gonna say it was that was on the, what album was that?
That song Fiesta?
It was on the
TP2, was it?
Yeah. So that was
R.
the
Kelly's.
First, and then this was after.
Okay.
Yeah. And
yes.
I think that's what made this album even happen.
Yeah. And you
they
know
had
what?
Good management.
I actually want to put this album on my iPod, and it's a handful of them too. And that's why I brought it up today, is because, you know, I liked it that much that I'm still willing to throw it on my iPod and bump it to this day. What were some of your favorite songs on that album?
Well, I mean, the whole album is amazing. It's about music, having a good time, and getting with that girl that doesn't say no because she likes your face.
I'm not sure about that.
She doesn't like my face?
Or not your what? Face. I mean...
R. Kelly's face. Look at R. Kelly's face. They never tell him no. And he's not that handsome.
That's my point.
That money, baby.
Anyways.
Shake Your Body is one of them. We already know what that's about. There's another song called Green Light. Go, 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 go. That's the... what is that, the chorus?
Yeah, a couple of really good songs on that. I think... Let's play that song, actually. Let's give him
let's
a little bit
it.
Of snippet.
Play it. Yes, please do. Play this on your way to work. I know you're sad on your way. That long drive on the 405.
Green light. Go, 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 go. You have the green light to be as pimpin' as you want to.
Green light.
Go, 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 go.
Yeah.
Go, 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 go.
Green light.
Go, 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 go.
Go,
go, go, go, go, go, go.
So motherfucking gangster, psycho like no bitch ass niggas don't wanna see the ROC, so you creep low, shoot from the line like a free throw.
So you have the green light to go and play this over and over again. Did you hear that? R. Kelly is he's a genius.
Yeah, it's a great album, dude. Like that song, this whole album just makes you
hype,
you can't
right?
help. Yeah, you can't help but like to start moving your body and get crazy.
Because every album has one depressing song. This has none.
And you know, hey, speaking of moving your body, I think one of my favorite is Shake Your Body.
Oh my God.
Shake your body, body, move your body, body, twist your body, body, spit your body, body, dip your body, body, work your body, body, anybody, body, everybody, body.
We got bunnies everywhere. Folks out the crisp popping everywhere. Body and heart, like we just don't care. Best of both girls, that shit ain't fair.
MJ, ho, mommy, shake your body, body, don't hurt nobody, hottie, it's me and the guard body, R. Kelly, the John Gotti.
All right, that song was called Shake Your Body. The next song's called Somebody's Girl. Obviously, she's shaking her body, and that's Somebody's Girl. And the sad thing is R. Kelly is just, he's cheating on everybody's, Look, your girl is not safe around R. Kelly.
So somebody's girl. I like that song too, actually. And you know what? I think why I like this album so much, the beats are so good.
I don't even know who did the beats, but somebody
who
did a
produced
great
this
job.
Album. Damn.
I don't know. Maybe P. Diddy.
Somebody. Nah.
Because he'd be on every song too.
Yes.
Right.
It's not P. Diddy. Definitely.
I would
like
to know, honestly, who did the beats on this. Can you email us? Because we're not gonna look it up for you guys, because we want you to listen to the album.
Yes. Email us. offbeatpod@gmail.com.
Oh my god.
That's POD, like short for podcast, at gmail.com. Boom. Listen to this song though. I like this song.
My booze is on, just a select few, the fools are gone. The slow jams and the grooves is on. Groove on.
Somebody's girl is at this party. Shaking that ass to this. Somebody's girl is at this party. Drinking that glass of Chris. Somebody's girl is at this party, sitting in VIP. Somebody's girl is at this party, and she's coming home with me.
Is it my fault they call me Young Heat Rock?
Hey, you see what I'm saying? It's one of those songs. It's like somebody's girl's at this
God
party.
Damn.
Shaking her ass to this. And you know what?
Kelly's a creep, man. He's a creep, dude. He's look it, we're at a club and he's in VIP just watching somebody else. Dude, I'm having a good time with my girl, and R. Kelly, he's got so much money, he's just staring at it. He's staring at everybody's girl. I think he doesn't even care about the woman. I think he cares about the dude and his reaction to him taking that woman.
You think it's a game to him?
Oh, hell yes, it's a game. When you have that much money, it's always a game.
Yeah.
Always. It's a pyramid scheme.
Well, I mean, somebody's girl's at this party, but is she with her dude or is she with a bunch of her homegirls?
Are you trying to give him the benefit of the doubt?
I'm not giving him the benefit of the doubt.
All right, okay.
I think,
because
yeah,
R. Kelly,
he's checking anything.
I'm not saying he's a creep.
Walking out.
I'm saying he's a creep, though.
I'm just saying.
Somebody's girl is at this party.
So,
she's
fellas, don't
me.
Piss your girl off, because she's going to go to this party where R. Kelly is.
R. Kelly, man.
And
you know what happens when you go with R. Kelly, man. You know what happens. Wear a jacket. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, no skin. No skin revealing clothing.
So that this whole album, it's amazing. The beat, download it. We don't get any profit off of this, so just download it. Make yourself feel good. Drive to work happy. Damn it.
Definitely support it. I feel like, you know, it's, like I said, I think it's overlooked and it's a missed album in terms of people not knowing that it even exists. And I think, give it a chance. And I feel like part of this conversation would be realistic. It came up because I was talking to this guy, a hip hop artist, okay, like everybody is today. And I mentioned to him about this album. I was like, you know, have you heard this album? You know, and if you're supposed to be a Jay-Z fan, I'm sure you know this album.
Right.
You didn't know this album. And I'm like,
wow.
Whoa. First of all, he made me feel really old. And secondly, I was like, well, what are these hip hop heads about today? How come they don't know their history? You know, it's a little sad. And that's part of the reason why I felt it was a nostalgic album, one that I wanted to bring up, because I think it didn't get the attention it deserved. And go back and listen to it. I think it's a really cool album. It's fun.
Definitely. This is a good album. Nostalgic. I don't even know what the fuck that word means, but I know it means it's a great album. All right. She's artistic. All right. She's artistic words. Just listen to the shit. It is nostalgic. And I'm going to look that shit up like tonight.
What album do you think deserves it?
Oh, CeeLo. 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 Hey, Goody Mob was one of my favorite groups. All right. It's Dungeon Family. It's Atlanta. If you know about Dungeon Family, you know what came out of that. That bred greatness, meaning Outkast, one of the best groups ever. So we're going to talk about that another episode. But this dude, CeeLo Green, came out with Goody Mob. He was a rapper, ladies and gentlemen. He was not singing all that sad shit you hear now. I'm not shitting on CeeLo, but he was an amazing hip-hop artist. And this album shows his creativity. It shows his lyrical genius. And this is an album you have to go pick up, because he doesn't even do this anymore. He doesn't even do... He might from time to time when he gets with Goody Mob, but you're not going to get everything, because he doesn't want to show off his greatness.
I think it's a classic album indeed. I put it in a classic file only because,
right,
like you said, I don't think that you'll ever get to hear CeeLo like you did in this album. Like
he came
so strong, and it's just... It's so intellectual.
Okay, how many songs were on this, first of all?
I think...
Too many. Too many in a good way. Like, you have so much to choose from. He's doing everything.
20 songs on here. About 20 songs. That's a lot. And
I kind of think, honestly, that he made all these songs because he knew the direction he was going to go.
You think so?
Yeah. So he had to get a bunch of songs.
Get it out of his system.
Get out of the system.
But exactly. You know what? Another overlooked album. And it's kind of sad. Like, going back to that, it's a really good album. He comes really, really, he's fierce in this album.
Yeah.
Lyrically, everything.
Lyrically,
he delivers. It's
monster.
A good album. It's one that I'm going to put on my iPod again.
Yeah. So, you definitely should.
What's one of your favorite songs off that album?
I think there's too many to choose from. I would like you to just play one random. Without even asking, just click on it to show how good it is. Just do one of those psychic friends and just tap on it.
You know what? Okay, actually, I have one in mind. And I think this one actually really sums it up good because, right. Like I said, it's lyrical, intellectual.
All of it.
It's amazing.
It's weird. It's a creepy album as far as greatness.
In no fashion have I lost my passion for the pen. It's just that lately life has been a lot less inspiring. To tell you the truth, trials and tribulation is very tiring. I gotta play a little game of gimmick and gun firing. I'm not aspiring to be any lower or higher than. I get equal as into I again. I'm the truth, I'm complicated, I'm already but try again. I've got to die once to never ever die again. And what I believe within, I engrave it in my skin. And one thing that I ain't is a saint without a sin. How could there be a now, if there never was a then.
That song was the shit. What's the name of that song?
Big Ol' Words.
Big Ol' Words. Wow, I mean that's a good name for that song.
Yeah, I think this is a really well thought out album, and that's one of my favorite songs on that album. I wanted to play it for you because it's just it's an amazing song. It's fierce. I have no other words for it but that it's fierce, and this is a classic album. To take it back, maybe some of you are familiar with the single from this album, which is Closet Freak.
That song's amazing. The whole album's amazing. He's honestly a closet freak, which I think we all should be. If you're not, you're probably not with the right person. But this whole album, amazing. He's crazy. He's creepy. He's everything you really are, and he puts it on an album.
Creepy in a good way.
Creepy in a fucking good
way. In a creative
good,
way.
Good
in, a cre- in a creative way.
Right.
This is Closet Freak, just to refresh your memory. Let the music freak your mind. Come on, that's sick. Seriously, who says that? Who says that? Someone intellectual, creatively intellectual. That's sick. Let the music freak your mind, guys.
That's why he's on The Voice. They had to pick somebody creative like that. They got Christine Aguilera.
I'm sorry, what? Who?
Christina Aguilera. Oh, man, did you hear that? Wow, she gets no props on this show. CeeLo is meant to be on this show. He knows talent. Obviously, like if I met him, I'd give him a hug. Not for a long time, because you never know what's going to happen. Obviously, you hear his music. Anything is possible with this dude.
He definitely has a unique eye for something special. And I love me some CeeLo. And I think another one that was overlooked, go back and revisit it.
Please go back and revisit it.
Is there another album?
All right. So look, to be honest with you, this is my favorite part of the segment. I get to talk about an album that I think she's done a few albums, right? But this album, it stuck out. I don't really want to talk about why. I was dating this girl at the time. We're not going to get into it, but her name is Tweet. She's produced by Timberland. And I said Timberland because this album makes... she's a pervert in this... Okay, there's a theme. Honestly, there's a theme to what we're doing. All right, she has a song. All right, and you have to play... Carol K, play this song. This song is called Oops. And Oops... I mean, you just have to listen to the song to know what I'm talking about.
Oops, there goes my shirt up over my head.
That song was by Tweet, called Oops. Like, she didn't do it on purpose. First of all, she's looking in the mirror, doing some oopsie daisy, driving me crazy. Her skirt, her dress, everything. She's ass naked, man. What is she doing, Carol?
What do you think she's doing? She's painting a picture.
This is why I love this song, period. I mean, the whole album, amazing. This song, I can't.
You know, I like the song because it's definitely, even for someone like myself, I'm somewhat of a conservative sometimes. I could be conservative sometimes.
Oh, she's conservative.
Oh, shut up, dude.
In a good way.
Whatever.
She likes beer, though. I like that.
Yeah. Anyways. Somebody's getting fired.
Oh.
Anyways. For me personally, I like this song, okay? And it's a very private song, and it's one of those things, you know, you do in the privacy of your own space.
Right.
But the way that it's portrayed and the way that it's
go
produced,
for it.
It's so delicate. And it's one of those things that it
She's
doesn't make you
feel... She's looking in the mirror, Carol.
But listen to the Who song itself.
Have you done that before?
I'm saying it doesn't make you feel uncomfortable
Dude,
listening to the song.
Dude, I touched myself in the mirror. I threw up. It was gross. I would never do that again. I don't even know how anybody sleeps with me in the first place. And doing that told me exactly why.
Oh my God.
It was horrible. And she's conceited, man. This song is about her oopsie daisy with her fingers and whatever else she used at the time. I would like to know. I love this song. But in the mirror, really? Where was the mirror? It was on the ceiling?
No, it was on the left.
It was on the left. You gotta listen to this song. Dude, you'll find hidden gems in this song. Dude, I would listen to this song by myself, and it was the best, like, lonely song on the planet.
It's insinuating, but it's direct, and, like, I think it's just one of those things that even for people who are shy about the subject
right?
matter, I think can listen to it without feeling strange about it, you know?
And her name is Tweet, before there was Twitter, dude.
But let me tell you something,
Genius.
Though. I like the song for one reason, before I actually listen to the words.
I want
to
hear this.
The beat. I mean, it's Timbaland, okay? I think, like a lot of people out there, you can get a little naive, and then, you know, you hear a really good beat, and you're like, oh, this is cool. You start singing
right.
to it, and then you start realizing what you're saying. And then you're like,
so
oh my gosh, the content of this song.
He's doing some trickery with the beats.
Maybe.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I tried in my try. What did you hear what she said? You have to, can you just play it again one more time?
Happening, swallow my pride, let it ride and parted. But this body felt just like mine. I got worried, I looked over to the left, a reflection of myself. That's why I couldn't catch my breath.
In listening to it again, I think it's kind of seductive. I'm thinking, like, I can see men totally imagining this. It's almost as if it's like an audio burlesque, kind of an audio strip show. In a sense,
Definitely.
Or more than that, because she does more than that.
She has another song called Cigarettes, another song called Motel, another song called Call Me. These are all just innuendos of what she was all about. I don't know if she was all about that now. She probably found Christ. I don't know. But she was a horny woman. This was my dream girl and still is. If you're out there, Tweet. Please tweet.
I really actually, I did like Tweet a lot. And I think she has a new single, at least.
You said that.
Because I was listening to the radio again, of course, and they played it on one of the stations, and I was wondering, who is this? I really like this song,
right.
You know, and
she's grown.
Yeah.
I remember you played it for
me. I used one of those apps to figure out, you
right.
know, who it was.
Shazam.
And it said
right.
it was Tweet. And I was like, I was pretty excited because I really like Tweet, and I was happy that she's coming out with a new album.
It sounded like she's grown.
Yeah.
She's not talking about the same shit.
I don't know.
I heard it.
Have
she
you?
Sounds like she's a born-again virgin. I don't know if I like it.
What's the album called?
It's called I Don't Touch Myself Anymore.
You're full of shit.
I know.
Okay.
I am. We're going to let you soak all that up.
I'm going to let it float. Take me there. Say what you will. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I won't stop until.
So we're back with some albums that deserve a second chance. Listen to them. Love it.
That was Way to Love by Tweet off of her new EP. Hope you guys enjoyed that because I really like it. Another album that I think deserves a second chance in the spotlight is that Total album. Do you remember Total?
I remember Total.
Yes.
Bad Boy.
Yes.
Take that.
Yes. It was self-titled. I think it was back in 96.
And they had the Total package. You're correct.
Of
Do you
course.
Remember? Who was the front runner? Was it Kim?
I don't know their names.
Keisha?
In terms of how they relate to the face.
But do you remember
but
the hairstyle?
Kima, Keisha, and Pam?
Okay, correct. Do you remember how influential that album was into every female I knew at my middle school had that hairstyle?
The one song I really, really liked was Kissing You. That was one of my favorite songs. Still is to this day.
I don't like R&B, man, and this song was the shit.
This is a good song.
It's a good damn song.
Kissing You, it's one of my favorite songs by Total, and I like the album. It has this like this whole East Coast vibe to it, and it's really cool. And the song, the single, was it a single that came out before this song, is with Biggie?
That's
what,
the one.
What is it? Can't You See?
Yeah.
Do you remember it?
That's the one. Was Total, and the song was Can't You See
with Biggie.
Notorious B.I.G. The instrumental was
was it a sample?
It was sampled by the Big Payback, James Brown.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I think I really like that song. It had soul. It had a little bit of everything involved in it.
Yeah, I think for another episode we definitely should discuss the whole samples, but I mean, I think a lot of people that came out of P. Diddy's camp had lots of samples.
Oh, you were talking about that.
Yeah. I mean,
Sting.
Yeah,
is one of them. Yeah,
exactly. But I mean, I do love this album. It's a good album.
I like samples. I think that's what makes hip hop great. Is if you sample other people's stuff.
If you do it well. I mean, that goes with any kind of art to me, though.
Oh yeah.
Not just music. I think if you emulate it well and make it your own and not try too hard.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Because I mean, there are samples now that's.
Why did you like this album? To be honest with you, why did you like it? What stood out? Where were you at the time?
I don't know. I really don't know.
You were probably a youngster.
Not really.
You're kind of young.
We're peers.
We are?
We are peers.
I remember where I was. I was at this girl's house, and she was playing it. And
Always at some girl's house? I think this is the second album that you were at with some girl.
I was young. I got way more action when I was younger.
I see.
Yeah, now it's slowed down immensely. It's pretty sad. That's another subject, man. Another podcast. But I was at this girl's house. Her name was Keisha. She had this hairstyle. She wore cross colors. If you remember cross colors.
Oh, my God. Cross colors.
She had a short haircut, and she looked like homegirl from this album. And she wanted to be like her. And she would play this damn album over and over again, and I didn't like it. We broke up. I bought the CD, started liking it. Start thinking about her again. It didn't work out, but that's why I remember this damn album. Kind of pisses me off a little bit.
Well, since you brought up cross colors, it's kind of hard to avoid. Like, what was that? Man, fashion in the 90s?
It was horrible, man. Yeah. Baggy ass pants. Light blue shorts. What the hell?
Sporting things backwards.
I had a high top Jerry curl.
What's up with that? Back then. Man, we were influenced. Yeah. Dude.
Completely. Crisscross? Remember that shit?
Yes.
Clothes on backwards.
What's cool about cross colors, though, is like if you're colorblind or you just have no sense of coordination, it's like whatever. Put on some cross colors and it's like
horrible.
Whatever.
White kids were wearing that too, man. I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah,
right
anyways.
Now. It's going to be bad.
I mean, you can't help but to put you can't help but to paint the picture of the 90s, you know?
The 90s was that was the golden era of hip hop, first of all.
Yeah.
R&B. Good music came out of the 90s. Unless you're like a soul dude, the 60s and 70s was amazing for rock. But for hip-hop and R&B that I liked, the 90s, hands down, was the best.
I have to agree with you. Yeah. I have to. Yes. Very, very cool stuff.
So Total Package.
Yeah, I think revisit it. Even if you've heard the album or whatnot, go back and listen to Kissing You. It's very nostalgic. And you know what? And I say that a lot because I'm trying to teach Simone some new vernacular. Because
I'm ignorant, people.
I'm trying to give him some new vernacular.
She's my balance. Yin and yang, people. Yin and yang.
But it's a good song, man. And I just, it sounds like new every time I listen to it.
I think it'd be a good starter kit. Sorry to interrupt. It's a good starter kit if you don't necessarily listen to R&B. Like if my son didn't like this mushy shit, I would play this total for him. And I guarantee you'd get into it.
Yeah, I mean, that song in particular, I don't think it's timeless. It's timeless to me. To me, you know? And you go listen to it and let me know if you feel the same.
Go
get it. Tweet us at Offbeat Music Box.
Boom.
That's our Twitter handle. Another person, actually, I really want to bring up is Joe Budden.
Uh-oh. This is my favorite part of the damn podcast, people.
Joe Budden. You know, I have to say, I was introduced to hip-hop in and around that time in, you know, the late, like, 90s or so, and I really got into it. And I think Joe Budden's album, his first album, was it?
Monster.
Yeah, really
good.
Okay,
what were we talking about? A lyrical venom? We had a word we described this shit. What
was
it?
Verbal daggers.
Oh! Ladies and gentlemen, Verbal Daggers by Carole K. Copyrighted.
Yes, indeed. But yes, no, that Joe Budden is really good. Like, I know some people maybe... I think he's another one of those artists. I feel like if I spoke to that same artist I spoke to before and mentioned the whole Jay-Z thing, he might not have realized that Joe Budden had an album at the time because it was in and around the same time.
Yeah.
Sadly. But, you know, some people know Joe Budden now because he's on TV, his reality show and all that good stuff. But he did have an album early 2000, was it? Yeah. Or was it late 90s?
Killer.
It was a really good album.
Lyrical, venom.
Yes.
Daggers, all that shit. He was killing everybody. And I remember, not he necessarily had beef, but they played a song and it was in every movie. Do you remember that?
Yes. Oh my God. What is it? Pump It Up?
Pump It Up. Step It Up.
It was Pump It Up or something. They played it in every dance 11, movie possible.
Yeah. It was about 11. He probably got paid just that year alone.
Yeah. I don't think he needed his album to be successful because that song was so damn successful.
I think that's why his album got slept on. This first one, I really believe it got slept on because they put that shit in every teenage movie.
Yeah,
that one song.
I think you mentioned.
Can you play that one song for them
so
they know?
And now she wanna hold out, getting cute on the phone. I ain't gotta be bothered, be cute on your own. My jump off doesn't run off at the mouth so much. My jump off never asks why I go out so much. My jump off never has me going out of my way. And she don't want nothing on Valentine's Day. My jump off don't argue and get rebellious. And she don't mind hanging out with the fellas. My jump off's not insecure or jealous. Fellas. Do your thing, let me do my thing. I mean, do your thing, let me do my thing. Move that thing, mommy, move that thing. Come on, move that thing, mommy, move that thing. Hustle, do your thing, let me do my thing.
That was Pump It Up.
Yeah, Pump It Up.
Oh my God.
I mean, no offense to Joe Budden, I actually really liked that song until they started playing that in all these like dance movies, and then it just like, I don't know, it just like the cheesier the movie. Maybe it was because the movie was so cheesy, like it just kind of ruined it for me, you know. And like I really truly did like it until, you know,
it ruined the song if you think about it, because people that I necessarily wouldn't even like that song because of the damn movie. Joe is a killer.
Do you know, aside from that song, he's awesome.
Lyrical monster. He's a part of a group called Slaughterhouse with Joey, Crooked Eye, and Royce da 5'9". We're not going to get into that group, but they're all lyrical geniuses, and Joe Budden is the front man.
And you know what? There's another song that I actually want to play. I made an observation, and it's just my own personal observation, of course, but I really want to play this song, and then I'll point out the observation after we play this.
The season, no more BS music. Watch and learn, see us do this. Reach this new shit, Playboy. I keep exclusives to make you see less unit. Can't stop, won't stop. I can just a good to me. Let it down, to me. Let it down, to me.
Okay, that song was called Fire, and it was with Busta Rhymes, and I really wanted to play that song because, in a sense, it kind of reminded me a little bit of Redman. I think they're from the same place, too, same area.
I think they're both from New Jersey. They both have the same cadence.
Joe Budden's a good artist. They're both very, you know, good artists and good on their own merits, but
definitely.
I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Budden was somewhat inspired or kind of looked up to Redman, but there are some similarities to me, and if he didn't, you know, that's fine too. I'm just saying that I think there are some similarities, and maybe that's why I like Joe Budden so much, is because he kind of reminds me of Redman.
I mean, and I'm a Redman fan. Eminem put Redman in his top 5 lyrical beasts, so if even Joe thinks of himself as a Redman fan. I mean, every rapper came from somebody. Grandmaster Flash, he probably is birthed through Redman and his lyrical genius. And I respect Joe a lot for that. I'm calling him Joe like I know the motherfucker, first of all, because I love his shit that much. And I think this first album, you should take a look at it. What was that one song where you're talking about? I need fucking
10 minutes. He has a song on there called 10 minutes, and it's literally like 10 minutes long. And it's talking about some of his life experiences and things like that. And I think that's another reason why this is an album that I enjoyed, is because he did have, talked about his personal experiences.
And that's why I think Jay-Z and 50 didn't like it.
Really? Yeah, I didn't know that. That's news to me.
I think Joey was one of the first ones to like start tossing out little small innuendos through his music.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice little beef, though. I didn't go into any gunplay, which was good. So I just kept it on the musical tip.
Gotcha.
And that album, it had content of like what was going on. He did not talk about selling crack. Maybe in one or two songs. Everybody saw crack being sold or something. But he didn't harp on the ignorance. He talked about what he was going through. It was a beautiful album.
Those are just a few albums that we think people should go back and revisit. No, they're great albums.
And they weren't tainted by the
support the artists. You know, these are albums that you may not get them like this anymore because the industry has changed so much. And, you know, the content and what people actually appreciate. I guess the value is different. And it's definitely not the same anymore in this industry. And it's just my opinion. So listeners, if you're out there and there's something you want us to share with other listeners in terms of what deserves a second chance in the spotlight, email us at offbeatpod, that's P-O-D, short for podcast, at gmail.com, or hit us on our Twitter, and that's at Offbeat Music Box. We're going to leave you with a little something we like to call Verbal Dagger, and this one comes from Jay-Z from Volume 3, Life and Times of S. Carter. Song is called It's Hot.
Go against Jigga, your ass is dense. I'm about a dollar, what the fuck is 50 cents?
So what do you know about that line? Tweet us your response and let us know. Give us a little insight on what you think that line is about, who it's directed to or whatnot. Not trying to stir up any beef, just a friendly conversation. I want to thank my co-host Simone, Robert Reichert, for the intro and outro music. And of course the listeners, thank you guys so much.
And we're signing off. My name's Simone.
I'm Carol K. Until next time, stay offbeat.
Do it.